Mud Podcast presents.
Hello, good morning. And it is Dorothy this morning to celebrate the last day of March, last day of Women's Month. We have coming up a special show to close Women's Month, a show about menopause. I'm gonna do with my colleague Kara. Oh, all right. So Kara, if you don't know her yet, she's the new station manager at KMED. And her and I, you know, we're 46 years old. Yeah, none of us ever had our menopause yet. So we have a lot of questions and wonders. And we don't want that subject to be taboo. Let's talk about it. So here we go. 2 hours about menopause. Are you ready? We're going to start with Linda Candiotti.
Hi, my name's Linda Candiotti. I'm a physician assistant, and I've been working in the Southern Humboldt area most of my career. I started here with training as in preparation to go to physician assistant school at Redwoods Roll, and did my preceptorship there and then worked there for many years. And I currently work at the Garberville Clinic in Garberville at the hospital, and I've been there for many years, getting ready to retire.
I see. So now people are guessing your age. So they are guessing where you're at with your own menopause.
Well past.
Okay. And so as a practitioner, what's your experience with helping women through that phase?
Well, I think it's a very difficult time for most women. Some people are very lucky and just kind of breeze through it, which, you know, they're very lucky. But a lot of people have a lot of difficult, you know, times with their menstrual cycles and their hormone fluctuations, which can cause a lot of symptoms, as most people know. But, you know, hot flashes, irritability, sleep disruption, things like that are very common. And they are treated a variety of ways. There's a huge range of ways to treat things. I think a lot of people, especially in our community, you know, aren't really interested in a lot of pharmaceuticals, which, you know, I don't necessarily think that's always the answer either. But there are a lot of pharmaceuticals that have been shown to work. And there's actually some new ones, which I was not aware of until I went to a recent conference. But it's very interesting. There's a new medication for hot flashes that works in a different way than hormones. So that was really interesting to me. And they're doing a lot of research about that.
Well, let's get into it. Do you want to tell us about that new medication?
Well, we could. I think we should. I mean, we could. It's a little bit complicated.
Oh, okay. But,
you know, the whole hormone cycle is really interesting, I think. And I think, you know, to me, it would be, I mean, I think people should know their hormone cycle and understand how it works, you know, what causes our periods and what causes fertility and what causes menopause. So I think that's all very interesting. It's, you know, controlled by our brain, starts with hormones in our brain. They're called gonadotropin releasing hormones. And those are in the hypothalamus and pituitary parts of your brain, which send messages to your sex organs, which for women is our ovaries, and they stimulate, you know, production of and when you're not menopausal, when you're already past puberty, your ovaries get triggered to form follicles and mature an egg, which gets released. And then if it becomes it becomes fertilized and implants, you become pregnant if there's sperm involved. So, and then if you don't have a fertilized egg, your hormones continue and do a cyclic up and down with estrogen building up, and then progesterone builds up, and then progesterone drops, and that's when you will bleed and have a period. So that's the normal monthly thing that happens. And but those hormones that cause the stimulation of the ovary are produced, are triggered by hormones from the brain that tell the ovaries to stimulate that hormone, to stimulate that follicle. That hormone is called the follicle stimulating hormone. And if it doesn't, if you're not pregnant, then that follicle stimulating hormone goes up and triggers back up to the brain. So there's like this feedback system. And I know this is confusing, but it's also very interesting. But that is what happens with menopause, is that our ovaries stop doing what they, you know, you don't become pregnant after menopause because your ovaries don't produce eggs, because that whole cycle changes. So your ovaries basically stop functioning in that way. And that's, those hormone changes are kind of what are responsible for the symptoms like hot flashes and things like that. So the new drug works on that part of the brain that it's, those hormones are called the gonadotropin releasing hormones. And after menopause, you get this pulsing of those hormones, which is next to your temperature regulating system in your brain. And so it stimulates that to happen, which I think is very interesting. So by stopping that hormone pulsing, it can actually stop the hot flashes from happening, because it just works in that way. And they're called, it's a neurotransmitter neurons, and they block, these new drugs block that neurotransmitter. And they're called, that neurotransmitter section is, there's several names of them, different names, but they're abbreviated KNDY, and that's for four different ones that that are part of that neurotransmitters. And there's one that can release, that can block that receptor. And the new drug, and this was new to me, and some people probably know about it, but it's called a phazolinitant. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's phazolinitant. And it sounds like it's very effective. Of course, there's probably some side effects and things like that that we would have to do more investigating about. But anyway, it's just exciting that there's new things on the horizon all the time. And that's kind of the new one that came up in the conference that I learned about. So that was really interesting.
Now let's
see. There's a lot of other treatments, though, that are also available. That's just kind of the new one.
I was just wondering about the cycle. Let's see if I understood. So first, the ovaries stop to do that cyclic monthly thing. And so it sends a signal to the brain, but the brain keeps doing it. So it's still producing those hormones, but instead of becoming a cycle, they become the hot flashes or something else, because they don't know where to go or something like that, no?
Yeah, basically it is that the brain function is still happening, but the feedback from the ovaries isn't happening. And so that is, you know, is part of the reason that the hot flashes develop. And they're still studying things and learning things, but that's what they understand at this point.
What about this myth, maybe, I don't know, that there's always been way less money invested in research about female health than about men health? And so that would be why we still don't know that much about menopause, for example?
I actually don't really know about the financial part, if that's, you know, how true that is. I mean, you know, I just learn about the studies that are going on and the research and the developments that happen. So I don't really know if there's a difference in how much goes into female studies or not. Yeah. So one of the organizations that does put out these recommendations is called NAMS, and it's the North American, that's what the N is, North American Menopause Society. So they have put out their recommendations as of 2023 on other things that have been shown to be helpful in menopause and in hot flashes and a lot of the, you know, the mood swings and irritability and things that can happen. And the number one thing was that they mentioned was cognitive behavioral therapy. So that is very interesting because, you know, sounds like there's, you know, more evidence that that actually is helpful. And so there are therapists who probably specialize in that and they have groups and things like that. So, you know, I don't know if that available locally, but with the internet now you can link up with places that probably offer that. So I think that was very good. Also, hypnosis has also been shown to be helpful. Yeah. And then the, you know, the drugs for depression are also helpful, and they actually work on that thermoregulatory or temperature regulation in our brain. That's why they work. They figured that out recently as well. So that was interesting. They unfortunately have not, mentioned, they don't really recommend the bioidentical hormones, which I know a lot of people here really like and have benefited from. And I think the reason they also mentioned is because they're just not as regulated. And I'm thinking that our local pharmacy that makes those drugs, the compounding pharmacy, probably is regulated. And I think I'm going to do a little more investigating on that, just because I felt kind of bad that they were like saying that we shouldn't be promoting those, which I know a lot of people really like them and they've really been helpful. So I need to find out more about that.
So which one is it you're talking about right now?
The natural hormones that people use, they're called bioidentical hormones, and they're compounded at a pharmacy. And I've recommended those throughout the years because they've been helpful. And I've, you know, been to lectures that the pharmacist has put on that, you know, makes those, you know, is at the pharmacy that where they're compounded and where they do the, testing of, they test people's hormone levels at the pharmacy. And it seems, you know, I mean, seems okay to me. So I'm going to do a little more research, but that's something else people can look into, and that the natural hormone therapies are well liked in our community.
And so we don't use horse pee anymore.
No, that's not the case.
For real?
We do use those. And the hormones, those hormones, which, you know, are estrogen and progesterone, which is what our bodies are not making when we go through menopause, are also have found to be very helpful, extremely helpful. There's been a big scare about them because, you know, about 18 years ago or longer ago, they decided they could increase your risk of cancer, particularly breast cancer, and several other possible problems with them. However, and mostly it was estrogen that they were talking about during that time. But since then, and it's been 18 years, they've been studying these same women, they've found out that that is not the case, that estrogen actually, for most people, can be very beneficial and safe. And that the risk of mortality or death does not go up with estrogen use, and the risk of cancer does not go up with estrogen use. I mean, you measure it with the placebos, which are don't have an active ingredient in them. And sometimes it's even lower than the placebo. So progesterone, on the other hand, which is the two drugs that we usually use, possibly does have a little bit higher incidence of some adverse or bad things that can happen. And the reason we use progesterone is back to where we talked about the cycle, how progesterone causes bleeding. So if you put someone on estrogen alone, the lining of the uterus will thicken and get bigger and bigger like it does during a normal cycle. And if you don't have progesterone there, there's nothing to get it to shed. And so that can be a risk for actually uterine cancer if you don't have progesterone with the estrogen. But if someone has had a hysterectomy and they don't have a uterus, they don't need the progesterone. So the hormones really do help. They're given in a lot of different ways. The horse urine one you're talking about is Premarin, and that's it's it's made into like oral treatments, like pills, or I believe they use that also with vaginal preparations, which people can use for, you know, vaginal dryness, which is a very big problem that women have after menopause. So, but there's a lot of other ways to take it. There's, you know, patches, there's vaginal rings that you can insert. And then for the progesterone, during the perimenopause time, which is around when menopause is happening, sometimes people get irregular bleeding, which can be a big problem. And they have the progesterone IUDs like Mirena, which are very, very low dose, but they have a little progesterone in them, which really help women during that time of, you know, the perimenopausal time. So it helps with them not to have that irregular or heavy bleeding. So the hormones are helpful for a lot of conditions.
And so, yeah, do you have an idea how many women need to be medicated in that time and how many don't need?
It's really individualized. I mean, the whole diagnosis of menopause is really, or the perimenopausal time is really based on symptoms. So the average age of menopause is 46. Most people, though, the mean age is, I think, around 51. So that's when most people have it. But the range is between 39 and 51. So there's a huge range. So it's really hard to know what's going on, especially when you're younger, when you start having some symptoms or some irregular periods. It's hard to know until your period stops for a year. So after a year, you can say you're probably in menopause. But there's, you know, the perimenopausal time is, it's like, you know, about 3 years of kind of going, you know, your hormones are just all over the place.
So what we call menopause is the time where the period is finished.
Yeah, and menopause means that your menses are done. Yeah, basically. Okay. Right.
So let me tell you.
So we don't know who needs treatment. I mean, some women just don't have symptoms and they're not bothered by it and they don't really need anything. And you know, some people are just miserable. And I remember one patient of mine who, you know, I saw, and I see a lot of people, and I saw her she was a next door neighbor of someone I was visiting, and she's like, "Oh, hi, you've saved my life, you know, well, thank you." And I was like, what did I do? Did I diagnose a cancer? You know, I couldn't think of what I did for this person. And I was like, I had to ask her, like, what do you mean? She goes, "You prescribed medication for my hot flashes." You know? I was like, okay. So, you know, it really made a big difference. But like I said, and for her, I believe I did prescribe her an antidepressant. And that totally took care of that problem for her. So there's a lot of different ways to treat it. And it's just really variable as to who needs help with that. You know, sometimes I see patients, you know, I'll be doing their pap smear or whatever, and I'll notice that, you know, the tissue doesn't look very happy. And I'll bring it up to them, and, you know, like, you know, if you ever need something to help you with this, you know, there are treatments available. And I think a lot of women don't know that there are treatments available, and they just kind of put up with it. But the vaginal estrogens are really helpful, and they're not very much systemically absorbed. So you don't need to worry about the possible side effects or the, you know, risks of taking them. But as I said, most of those risks have been proven to not really be that important. You know, they didn't really pan out to be a risk. So I think they're a lot safer than we think.
Okay. So this is the reason why we want to do the show today, because Kara and I are 46 and we don't know much about menopause. Like in my family specifically, I have 7 aunts and many, many, many cousins who are in their 50s. Mm-hmm. We just never have talked about it. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they tell me?
Yeah.
So now I need to do a radio show about it to learn. So let's try to repeat to make it clear for people. Yes, yeah. There are treatments available. And so which ones are they? The old-fashioned one, which was horse urine, you called it?
Estrogen.
Oh,
and the brand name of that horse urine is the Premarin. Premarin.
All right.
Yeah.
And so to you, that's kind of the basic.
There are other forms of estrogen. You don't have to use Premarin if you're adverse to that. There are plant-based estrogen. They're called estradiols. They're that are made from plants, actually. And so, you know, it's just as easy to use those as long as your insurance will cover them. You know, they can sometimes be really expensive if they're not covered by insurance, but generally there's one they'll cover. And, you know, if someone doesn't want to use the Premarin, then they can certainly use a different form of that. Yeah.
And it has been debunked that it is giving breast cancer and other problems.
Yes, it doesn't increase the risk of cancers or death. Especially in particular, estrogen does not. Let's see, there is, you know, I think if someone has had a breast cancer that is estrogen sensitive, which is many of them are, even then a lot of doctors feel okay prescribing it. So the thing is, if you have an estrogen or, you know, progesterone sensitive cancer already and you supplement with more hormones, it could probably cause it to grow quicker. So that wouldn't be a good thing. But they've, you know, which is why when people want to do hormone therapy, I'm very insistent that they have a breast exam and a mammogram regularly, as they should anyway. I mean, I feel like they should anyway, to detect cancer in an early form. So, because then they're more treatable, obviously.
Yeah.
But even after someone has done cancer treatment who had an estrogen, you know, sensitive cancer, even then a lot of doctors feel okay prescribing hormone therapy. So that's how safe it really is, you know, that the likelihood of something developing is really low. Yeah.
So. Okay. The other one was the natural hormone,
bioidentical
hormone. So this one is more new.
No, it's been around for a very long time. I've been prescribing it basically but I use the assistance of the pharmacist that does the testing at the pharmacy that compounds them. But those have been around the whole time, or even before I started practicing. I'm not sure how long they've been around, but a very long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you talked about
hypnotherapy and cognitive behavioral therapy, which is therapy, you know, like counseling with a therapist or group therapy. Yeah.
And the new thing was fazonitant.
Oh, right? That's the new one. That's the new one for hot flashes. Yes.
Oh, and it's just for hot flashes. Okay.
That's just for hot flashes. And then also the antidepressants are very helpful for the menopausal symptoms. Yeah. So those are good. Another one that they mentioned, which I haven't really used for this, but is it's called gabapentin or Neurontin, which is a drug that has a lot of different uses. It originally was for seizures, but they use it a lot for, now they're using it a lot for nerve pain. So when people have, you know, back pain or any pain, two of my friends have been prescribed it, one right after surgery for pain from surgery, although she didn't take it, she didn't need it. And another friend was prescribed it for sleeping because it does make you sleepy, but she also didn't take it. But anyway, it's also used for with mental disorders. It's been used for that as well. So it's used in a lot of different things. And I'm going to have to look into the how it helps with menopausal symptoms, but it's prescribed. It's one of the ones on that list from that organization, the North American Menopause Society. And then the ones they didn't recommend are things that people here have used a lot. It is a lot of supplements and herbal remedies and like soy. Some people think have used soy to be helpful. But so they've just done studies that have shown in, you know, the straight medical world that they haven't been helpful. I know, you know, there are natural therapists in our community who probably use these and people probably have benefits from them. So, you know, there's a wide belief system and I don't really cut off those avenues if people want to do those types of things. I really trust our natural therapists and, you know, I would recommend them to my patients as well. So I'm just talking about one avenue medicine.
And did you feel like it's a bit of a taboo that maybe women experiment shame or difficulties to talk about it or not in the medical world?
I think maybe, you know, like you said, you just don't, I mean, nobody talked about it in my family either. You know, that was not a topic of conversation. It is now because everybody asks me all these questions all the time. You know, everybody, I mean, all my nieces and nephews from early ages they're not afraid to ask me anything. So I love it. I mean, I love teaching people and sharing my knowledge. So, you know, and I think medicine is really fascinating. So I like it, but, and you know, I can have my interactions with my patients and, you know, I think feel safe in that situation, but I think it's true that a lot of people just put up with stuff, you know, women in general, I think do that. They just kind of deal with it. It's like, but yeah, they don't necessarily have to suffer. So that's what I think is a good thing, that there's things available that they can use.
Yeah. I have a friend who suddenly became, had a very big, social anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Anxiety is a symptom. I mean, I just wrote down the symptoms that they talked about. Sleep disorders, hot flashes, diminished sex drive, mood swings, vaginal dryness, irregular periods. But I think the mood swings, you know, includes anxiety, depression, irritability, you know, all that stuff is included. Yeah. The same thing as going through puberty, you know, people have that happen. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I had my kids later in life and my poor daughter went through puberty while I was going through menopause. It was wild times around here. I have a son and my husband, they were both like, oh my God, what's happening? But we all got through it. My daughter and I are best friends. So it was...
That's important to say that. We all got through it.
Yeah.
Like it's just a phase in a person's life.
Right.
And last a few years can be a big phase, but we're all going to go through it.
Some women, unfortunately, have these symptoms last pretty long, you know, like for years. In general, most people, they go away after a few years. Like I don't have, you know, hot flashes anymore or anything like that. So those are done. But some people... I see people in their, you know, older ages that tell me they still have them. So it's really variable. But in general, most people don't continue to have them.
I talked about it with a lady who is maybe 70 years old. And she was telling me, I love them. I've always been cold in my life. So now at least sometimes I'm warm. And because I'm always cold, I'm like, oh, I want my menopause to come and be warm. That would be a new feeling.
Yeah. I didn't like them. They woke me up. I had them a lot at night. And they mentioned this in this conference too, that I'd be at work in a room with a patient and I'd start to feel kind of anxious. And that I finally realized meant that I was going to have a hot flash. So I'd get like just uncomfortable, like, oh God, what's wrong with me? And then I'd get the hot flash. So no, I didn't like them.
All right. I think we're about at the end of our half an hour. So do you have any conclusion that you want to share with our listeners?
No, I think it's great. I think knowledge is powerful. And, you know, if anyone has questions, I'm available. So, you know, they can just leave a message at the clinic in Garberville, and I'm happy to return calls. Or if they want to schedule an appointment to talk about this in more detail, I'm totally available for that as well until I retire later this year. I'm not sure when exactly that's going to be, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this was Linda Candiotti from, how do you say your name? Say
That's it. Right. You said it just right. Candiotti.
Oh, did I? Amazing.
most people don't say it correctly, but generally people who are not American born, those Americans never say it right. But if they're from Europe, they say it correctly.
All right. So Linda Candiotti, thank you so much for being with us this morning. That was very informative. I am feeling already a little more ready to go into that phase of my life.
Good for you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I am Kara, station manager here at KMUD, and it is a pleasure to get to be on air with our membership coordinator, Dorothy, as well as our board member and treasurer, Florina, who is one of our special guests today to talk about this sacred topic.
Our second guest of the day is Florina Neagley. Do you mind to introduce yourself?
Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Hey, KMUD listeners. Good morning, you too. Yeah, I'm Florina Neagley. I'm a trained naturopath in Europe, but I moved here to this community 19 years ago. I was 1 year before my son was born, so it's easy. 19 years ago, and I'm providing here. I'm not working as a naturopath, but I do work as a body worker. I'm also a Zen teacher and mindfulness instructor. So for me, all these modalities really blend in supporting people in their overall health, in their holistic health. Because for me, with going through journeys with my own body, it is for me very clear that there's not one thing separate from the other, not mind separate from body, not spirit separate from mind or body. It's all, we're just one thing, you know?
Yeah.
And we're not just even one thing. We're like a community of people. We are like, you know, we're interconnected. So that's my approach to health, really, just because my body taught me how to see it like that. Yeah.
So do you have patients coming to see you about menopause?
Probably not directly just about menopause, right? People coming in, women coming in that kind of age frame with, let's say, joint pains, right? Mm. Or depression, anxiety, that kind of stuff. And then obviously we're talking about menopause, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and then yes, in Europe, when I was practicing as a naturopath, I was working more really directly in the menopause field in that way, but not, yeah. And thank you, Linda Candiotti, for doing the first segment. That was great and informative for the community. I thought that was well done.
And so what do you think as a naturopath, even if you're not, are you not doing naturopathy here because you don't have the exam to be able to do it here, something like that?
Correct. Yeah, I'm not working as a what we call doctor right here.
Oh.
But I'm more working as a life coach, support.
And so what do you think about the hormones and all the medications she was talking about?
You know, I think just like with everything that comes to our medical journey, it's a very individual journey. And I think it's important to be informed, like knowing the different things that are out there. And, you know, I mean, some women go through some severe symptoms, right? And I'm always in support of not creating more suffering than necessary. Mm-hmm. However, I think there is always an opportunity in symptoms. And like, for me, it's important to listen to these things and listen to the opportunities that our bodies are showing us. And so that's my approach. Hang on quick. I have my two dogs going crazy. Okay. No, I think they settled down.
Yeah, we can hear them. Don't worry.
Okay. So... that's for me more where my approach is. Like, okay, we have all these symptoms. Okay, what are they telling us? Let's say we're cranky, or let's say we're hot, have hot flashes or anxiety. There's something in there that the body is telling us, hey, perhaps, you know, what is it that the body's telling you? That's the big question here, right? And so for me, it's a journey inside. It's a journey to get to know myself more and more and more, because the body never creates anything to harm you, ever. It does. It's not creating stuff to punish you or to just be gnarly, right? Your body is your best friend. And so when we see it that way, we're more like, oh, there's a red light coming on, like in a car. You don't smash the red light that's coming on in a car. You want to find out, what's up, right? And then you want to go to the source and fix it. But sometimes with our bodies, we literally feel the symptoms and we're like, okay, let's suppress that thing because I don't like to feel it. Mm-hmm. I think it can be dangerous even, but it's not just that. It's also we're losing that opportunity to get to know what's up, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying symptoms are fun. They're not, right? And they can be incredible teachers. Yeah. What are I see this whole thing a little bit different, right?
What are some tools that people can use to kind of look inward and self-reflect on that journey?
I think sometimes just having a guide or somebody to talk to, that can be obviously somebody who's already gone through it, or somebody, you know, just somebody you trust to kind of brainstorm with. But a lot of it, like trusting also in silence and really listening to the body. The body tells you when you ask, when you're there, when you're present with it, right? One of the really interesting things when we look at wellness in a holistic, like also from a nervous system appointment, the four pillars, I have a cough this morning, sorry. The four pillars of wellness are something interesting to look at because they can be a kind of a guideline where to go with these difficult like transition periods in life, right? And these four pillars are awareness, purpose, insights, and connection, right? So how do we train these four pillars? How do we train these qualities? It's all these reflective practices of meditation, mindfulness, body move like Qigong or yoga, but it can be gardening too. It can be walking, like something that slows you down in this busy world, right? Mm-hmm. That gives you a moment of, I'm here, I'm whole. And then from there, the insights come. It's not that they're not there, but we're often too busy and too occupied to actually even listen. So, you know, these kind of practices can be helpful. But I feel, you know, especially when it comes to these big transitions, let's talk menopause, right? I think it's always good to, like, go from all kinds of levels into it. Diet. There are plants that can help you, right? Practices that can help you. Movements, like life changes, like really kind of, it's another opportunity for you to look at your life and say, where am I going into, right? Mm-hmm. Because it is a transition, right? Also, like when you look at the archetypes, right? You have the maiden, the mother, and the crone. And so you're going from the mother, from like having built your business, having like perhaps raised kids, and then suddenly the kids are moving out and you're going through menopause, your hormones are shifting, everything is loose, right? Everything is goofy. you kind of lose the ground under your shoes. And then what, right? Embracing that new period that's coming, I think, is a really important part. Like not resisting it, but actually like, okay, you know, perhaps I have anxiety. Perhaps it's time to really slow down and see what does that mean when I lose my identity as a mom? Which I don't think that's even possible. But, you know, as having little kids in a house and being needed. Or what does it mean to, like, be done with, you know, the peak of my life, as we sometimes say, which I won't debate it. I think becoming a wise woman is kind of cool idea. So, you know, the body is starting to shift. Can we accept that? And then can we build up the mind? That's for me the big transition here, that we can either embrace and work with or get to know how to embrace it, or we resist. And I do think when we resist, we create more symptoms and we create more suffering.
I like just the allowing ourselves to slow down. I feel like a lot of times we're trying to take these medications so we can keep up this hectic pace in life that we're constantly feel like we need to maintain. And if we can just take this as a sign to allow that change, that transition, and honoring slowing down as part of life and a blessing, not as a hindrance. You know, I don't think it's healthy the way we try to keep up this constant frantic pace and work and life. And I think a lot of those medications are trying to make us feel the same as we felt when we were 20. And maybe we should just kind of embrace those changes and allow ourselves to have that self-reflection and those calmness and slowing down. I know my body, you know, I get sick when I'm too hectic and don't listen to myself and slow down. So I'm going to take these cues as a positive thing rather than slowing down being a negative thing, but actually, you know, a healthy need for sustainability and for everyone to enjoy my presence. Because I'll get cranky if I try to keep up this crazy pace.
Yeah, exactly. And allowing that, right? And that whole, our society who kind of has the idea we need to be young forever. What is going on? Like, where did that come from? We need our elders. We need our wise women. And so, you know, for me, it's a community shift. It's a societal, like, really questioning ourselves. What are we doing? And is this really healthy? Is this really sustainable? What is actually in line with nature? Because if we align ourselves and our rhythm up with nature, our body is way more content than if we fight it. And so, yes, we are slowing down, right? The older we get. Is that bad? No. Yeah. It's not bad. Slowing down also means more introspection, more time to grow that wisdom, more time to, like, look back on the experiences we gather during life. Yeah, and I think it also takes, again, that shift from honoring our elders. Again, I mean, there's so much, like, you know, disrespect to older people and looking down. And I think that is just so harmful for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's hard for us ourselves to embrace that. And it's just we lose all that wisdom for a community that we really, really need. And, you know, I'm not saying this journey is easy, right? I think there is also a part of grief involved and mourning, right?
Yeah.
Of letting go of a part of your life. You know, when we look at our lifetimes as seasons, right? When we're young, it's kind of spring, right? You got a ton of energy. You're all crazy and creative and you want to just kind of go out there and flower and do things and learn and grow. And then we come into the summer, right? More the summer, which is the high peak of our lives. And then comes the fall. Leaves are falling. And that's kind of going through that menopause. But what does fall also bring, right? In a way, there is a beauty in fall where the clarity of the sky starts to come in, where we have to start going inward and say, okay, what's essential? the trees are doing this so beautiful, right? When they let the leaves go, what's essential? Going back to the roots. And for me, life is very much like that, like the seasons and going with that. It would be kind of ridiculous as a tree to not want to go with the seasons, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the same for us. Like really embracing these changes and then make the best out of it. And for me, you know, with my own journey with my body, having had a lot of problems growing up, being born with birth defects, going through lots of different challenges, the more I can align with what is my body telling me, what is up, what are the possibilities, how much can I listen, there's always an answer and there's always healing that comes from within. And that's for me like a really interesting journey actually to go on. It's like solving a mystery, you know. It's like, how can I be with my hot flash? What's up here? Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate that perspective. It's giving me, you know, something to look forward to because, you know, I want more internal self-reflection. And sometimes with that go, go, go kind of pace, it's hard to sit in that silence and, you know, reflect internally. And so I can see this slowing down transition as a time that will allow me to honor that and have a little more internal self-reflection, which comes, you know, brings wisdom and power in its own. And it's nice to think of some of the positive aspects of these transitions.
Absolutely. I mean, they're powerful times, you know?
Yeah.
Everywhere there's a lot of symptom, there's a lot of energy too. It's like, how can we harvest it?
Yeah.
And again, I do think coming into that next phase of our lives, the harvesting is a different one. It needs to be a different one, right? Than when we become mothers or business owners and just building our lives. And we can still build our lives again with 50 or 60. I mean, I feel like I reinvent myself every other week. So why not keep going with that, but a little bit in a different way, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am so glad you guys are offering this this discussion and this exploring about menopause. I think it's wonderful. As you said in the beginning, Dorothy, like, let's break that taboo of not talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, over 4 billion people are going through it. You know, it's a common thing. However, we don't talk about it. Same with menstruation. You know, when I was 20, I made a zine about menstruation and it felt taboo to hand it out publicly. And now that I'm 46 on the, you know, getting closer to the other side, seeing how, gosh, we're back to this taboo again. Like, what's going on? It shouldn't be that way. And I also feel like a lot of just lack of representation of our elders and archetypes and things to understand as we go through these transitions, you know, especially in a lot of, you know, mainstream religions, there's not a lot of older female women archetypes that we can honor and see ourselves in.
You know, and I also think the opportunity of, yes, perhaps having symptoms, right, and really suffering. And I'm not diminishing that some people have a really, really hard time with going through menopause. This needs to be supported. I'm mm-hmm. all for support for women. But it also brings us together, right? We start talking about it. Perhaps we go and find a practitioner that can support us or a life coach or something. So again, that builds that community between women. We can support each other. There's always ways that we can ease each other's suffering. And
actually, we're going to talk in a second with Terry from the Women Herbal Symposium. So this is a way to get together as women and talk about all those things. All right. So we want to thank Florina for being with us this half hour. And you're going to stay with us?
Yeah, I could.
Yeah. All right. Cool. The more ladies in the place, the better.
Yeah. We're starting our own superhero club right here.
KMUD is a community radio station in the Redwood region of Northern California. Donate to support people-powered radio at kmud.org.
And we are now going to our third guest of the morning, Terry Jensen from the Women Herbal Symposium.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
Maybe you can do an introduction of the Women Herbal Symposium for those who don't know what it is.
Sure, absolutely. So we are a women's herb conference, and this is actually our 35th year. We've been doing it for a long, long time, and we've been doing it in Laytonville. Gosh, I think this is the 31st year in Laytonville, so we've been there a long time. We do three a year, so we've done over 70 of them. I don't even know the number anymore. So we've been doing it a long time. Let's just put it that way. And it's 4 days each session, each conference. It's 4 days of herbs and women, and it's just women, but it's all kinds of herbs and ways that we take care of ourselves and all the ways that we have relationships with plants. Many, many, many topics, but obviously a big topic is women's health and our bloods and our breasts and, you know, how do we take care of ourselves as women, but also how do we care for our families and those we love and so on. There's many, many, many topics. There's between 40 and 50 classes that are offered at each session, all plant related in some manner. Well, except for our dance classes and music classes, singing classes, but.
And I've been there twice, and I feel that there's also a lot of relationship with the environment.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's a very, it's the plant women coming together, you know. We're coming out of the soil, and we want to know more about our plants, and we love the earth that we live on, and how do we care for that, and find our way that way with each other. And I just want to say one other thing that the original vision way back when we first started in the early 90s was, so there's many herb conferences around the country, and there's wonderful, awesome herb teachers that come. But at that time, it's still that way, but it's somewhat changed a little bit. But at that time, it was kind of some of the main herbal teachers that were also writing the books and that we were learning from, which we loved. But, you know, you could go to different conferences and they were kind of like the same. And a lot of them were men, and a lot of the people who wrote the books were men. And they were great books and great information, but the vision was, you know, where are the women? And our vision was, and we were coming out of another group out of Oregon that were our mentors, and the vision was, well, how do we find our local women who are just in the field doing it? Or they're not out, you know, making the big splash about it and all of that. Just local women just doing it. So that's where what we've done is just reach out. Who is close? We don't bring in teachers from far away because they can teach in their areas. But just who are the women doing it in our areas? And that has been one of the most rich experiences, is just to reach out and finding women that are just doing these amazing herbal things in our community and bringing them in and saying, just come and talk about what you do and what you've learned in your life's journey using herbs, using, you know, natural methods of healing and caring for yourself and your family. And so, and I've been on this journey with the Herbal Symposium from the beginning and been very, very blessed to be doing this and all these amazing, amazing herbalists I've met over the years. Well, all women, actually. So, yeah, that's kind of a quick synopsis of.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for doing that for so many years and really dedicating your life to that project.
Yeah.
And so, how do you guys approach menopause time? Since this is the theme of the day on KMUD. Not of the day, just those two first hours. Don't worry. Just 2 hours about menopause.
That's I'm going to talk about it all day.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll tell you the little journey. So I'm actually about to turn 68, but when we started Herbal Sense, so I passed menopause. And actually, I'll just say really quickly, I was one of the fortunate women that it just happened. My blood just stopped, and I'm like, this doesn't seem right. So, you know, so anyway. But when I started doing it, when we started it, I was 33. You know, fully in the cycle, you know, bloods every month and the whole, you know, the whole cycle of bleeding. And when we started it, we wanted to do some honoring of our girls, or a rites of passage ceremony for our girls that are coming into womanhood, that are beginning their bloods. And so we started that, and we created this ceremony, which we've done so many, 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 many times, that honor our girls, and so that becoming women. So, and we began to recognize, well, there's three phases in a woman's life. There's maiden, mother, crone, as was mentioned before. So the maiden is the time before our bloods, when we are children, we're growing, we're learning, or that's our job, is to grow and learn. And then we reach the point where our bloods come in, and that's the phase that we call the mother. Now, in our current society, we call mother, you know, like you have a child. But in the way that we're speaking of it, in the old ancient way, mother is the phase when you create in the world, you make, you do. And that might include having a child and having a family, but it could create, as was mentioned before too, it could be a business or whatever your work is in the world. That's the phase when you do that, you know, because our bodies every single month create hormones, as we've been talking about, in the bloods to create a baby, a human. That energy to create something on that scale comes to us each month as bleeding women. And we're so used to it. We don't even really realize all that we're given every month to create. And we take that out in the world and we create all the things that women create and all the things, or we pour that into our families, or we do both, or whatever a woman chooses, right? And in the early years, I, you know, recognized that, and we celebrated that. And as we celebrated our girls coming into their blood time and into the mother phase and all of that. And my mother, who was in menopause when we started, and then, finished menopause, came to me at one point, and she came to the symposium every year. She was our EMT and had an important role. But she came to me at one point, and she's like, "This is so beautiful that we're celebrating, and we're creating a rites of passage ceremony that so many of us didn't get, you know, for the generation behind us." She says, "And there's another phase that we need to celebrate. And I'm in that phase. And I would like to bring in a celebration of that phase and what that's about." And I was like, "Oh, sure, of course." Right? I was so full of my blood and all of the activity that goes on with the bleeding time and the creating of all, you know, creation, blah, 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 all of that, that it hadn't even occurred to me. So I was so grateful to her. So what she did was she pulled together the crone. So it's, you know, maiden, mother, crone. And she started having lunch one day, and then it turned into 2 days of the conference where the crones just come together and talk about it and talk about, well, we've stopped our bloods and what happens. And her definition of a crone is 13 months of no blood. So if you're in the phase of menopause, you're not quite a crone yet. Crone is when that's completed, but you're in the transition period. You know, as we go back to look at the maidens coming into the mother time, there's a transition where the bloods will come and go and the hormones are finding their way, right? That's the transition. And then you get into the mother phase, and that could go for 30 or 40 years or however long it goes. Then you move into the crone phase. And so she began these lunches, and it was so powerful because, as we were talking about, women know when you become an old woman, you're kind of cast aside, like you're not so important anymore. We were interested in the youth side of, you know, but it's the opposite, as we found with so many things, that when you reach cronehood, you've learned so much. You've been through so many, you know, great things in life and all the hardships that we go through in life. You know, you've been knocked down and you got up, and all of that wisdom you have by the time you reach cronehood is knocked around as you might end up being by the time you get there. But there's not a lot of places for that. That's not really honored in our current time period of being wise. So they got together and began to talk about that. And they would talk about holding your wise blood inside now. You know, we don't have it as a maiden. As a mother, you're giving it out, you know, and all the richness of the bloods. I mean, it's such a powerful time, and I could talk on and on about that as well. But now in this phase, We hold it inside in our wise ways. And that's what makes us slow down. We hold it in now. And now it is our time to pass it on and guide those coming up behind us. And, you know, what would I say? And I appreciated some of the early discussion about that, of kind of taking an assessment of that. You know, my life to this point, I'm not now in the phase where I'm now creating in the same way, because I don't have my blood. I don't have all those hormones every month kicking in like, okay, are we making a baby? Like, here's all this energy. Here's all this. We don't have that now. So I'm not creating in the same way. I'm holding all this wisdom, which may create into something as well, but it's so different now. So, okay. So they did that, and it was so powerful. And I had a lot of women coming to me saying, this is the only place where I'm honored. And it started to spread through camp where everybody's like, oh, it's a crone. Oh, our honoring, you know, to those women who hadn't reached that point. And then they started to wear bells so that you could hear a wise crone coming. So now you hear these, you know, on their ankles. So as they walk along, some are very quiet, some are louder, everyone's style is whatever. And so that became very powerful. And the other thing that started to become so beautiful is that the maidens, the children, began to be aware, oh, mommy, it's a crone, or look, our crones, they're our wise ones, there's the one we honor. So, okay, so this is all starting to happen. And then we're doing this big ceremony, the rites of passage ceremony for the girls becoming women. And my mother came to me again, and she said, the crones need a ceremony. And I'm like, oh, of course, of course, of course. You know, and are the weekends so packed? I'm like, where are we going to put it? You know, how are we going to fit this in? But we realized, well, we're going to follow the maiden ceremony following that. So, so beautiful. So, okay, we put this together. My mother's guidance. This crone of time, so beautiful. So I just have to laugh because we bring the maids in, and it's all very formal and kind of serious, and you know, and it's just, I mean, it's powerful and simple. Anyway, complete that. The maidens are, and now we actually have the crones come and bring the maidens from the inner circle into the larger circle of women. As I say, ceremony, they will remain for the rest of their lives now. But then, okay, so there's that, and it's a very beautiful piece. Then my mother would come out and call the crones out. The crones are like, oh, and she had them make brooms. So they're all carrying their brooms, and they're like cackling, and they're kind of going in all directions. And like the maidens is all very organized and all very, and the crones are kind of like going everywhere. And she's like, I can't control the crones. Like, over here, crones, this is how we're moving into this large circle. And when I say circle, we have all the other women that are not in the circle, make a huge outer circle. And then we have the inner circle where the honoring of the girls becoming women is. And then the crones would come into the inner circle. So anyway, it was, and that was so beautiful too, because we could see the contrast. Like when you become a crone, you are, you know, you're a woman of your own, you know? So anyway, but a very, very beautiful ceremony where just some little bit of talk of coming into that, and then an honoring of one crone in particular. I mean, it started out as our eldest crone, and some gifts. She's given a crone stone and a cape and a broom. They make a broom for her. And then there's a gourd with, as my mother would call it, the crone juice, and each crone standing in the circle, it gets passed, and each crone will declare that she's crone. Sometimes it's said in different ways, but it always ends with, and I am crone. And when I became a crone, when my blood stopped and I stepped into that circle, the power of standing there with all these other women, the outer circle standing around holding, and then the inner circle, and you're declaring that, in a society, you know, in a times when being old is, you know, we're trying to stay youthful because when you become old, you're not worth anything. And realizing it's the opposite. I now have that. I hold my wise blood inside. I have all this history of my life behind me and what I've learned. And it's so powerful to not only take a sip of that and say that, but then pass it on and stand in the circle with all of those others. Very powerful. And now I'm seeing, I'll just add one other quick thing. So out of that came women in the bleeding phase are wanting to have a celebration. So now we have in between our coming of age for the girls, then we have a time where we honor the women in the bleeding time. Now we honor the crones. And now we end it with a honoring of those who have passed on, because that's the next phase, is the death. And so in that celebration of the life is very, very powerful. But the last thing I'll say that is also to me, maybe the most powerful part of all, is that now the children that are coming are watching this and are seeing, okay, this is life. This is the phases. You're a little child, then you're in the bleeding phase, and then you're in the menopause phase, and then you die. And I'm, you know, I hear children now talking about, well, what dress are you going to wear when you, you know, become a woman? And you know, well, when I become a crone, so different than the way I grew up, which was sort of like, oh, this blood thing, I don't know, it's kind of weird and it's gross. And, you know, and menopause, oh, we need a bunch of chemicals and it's all messed up and it's a terrible, you know, it's like, okay, yeah, there's challenges in all of it. But what in life doesn't bring challenges with it, with all the great things? So to me, that's the most powerful thing, is watching the children who are watching this process and understanding these are the phases in our lives as women.
Thank you so much. I mean, that's amazing. And because I've been there, I have the images in my mind as you're explaining this big circle of beautiful, so diverse women. All the time that I was there, I was thinking, if people watch the magazine and they think that's what is a woman, they have to go to Women's Symposium and realize that woman is not what is in the magazine. Woman is so varied, diverse in all the ways possible. Like, woman is a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I love that.
I love that the children get to see as well.
Yeah.
In those magazines, those images, but they're seeing the reality of who we are as women.
I was wondering if you invented all those rituals or if you're taking them from one spirituality or another.
Well, the maiden ceremony, yeah, was mostly me. Yeah. My inspiration coming from, you know, my traditions of, you know, my ancestry is Northern European predominantly. But yeah, I just felt that inspiration, and it took us a few years to kind of hone it down, but yes. And then the crone ceremony was predominantly my mother's ceremony. But again, it took a couple of times to kind of hone it and figure out how to get it where we want it. But yeah, we've got it pretty down now. But yeah, I feel like, I mean, ultimately, no, it wasn't me, it's spirit. I mean, when we go into that ceremony, and I have the blessing to be the high priestess in that ceremony. My mother is High Crone Jill, though she's now passed into the spirit world, but she was our High Crone. But it's spirit led for sure. I just get out of the way, you know, and let it happen. So, but yeah, we were blessed that these ceremonies came through us, and we were up for it. We're like, great, we want to do it. So. And having the opportunity to do them so many times, too, we've been able to really craft them to where they feel, at least to us, very comfortable and powerful.
Hey, Florina, don't hesitate to jump in if you have a question. But I have another one, Terry. I'm wondering, okay, you're at the Women's Symposium, you're doing your crown ceremony, you are recognized, seen as a crone, and then you go back to real life.
Yes. Yes.
How does that work? Like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's always a transition. Like, actually, at the end of our closing circle, we put on like our cloaks so that we can remain open and remain the powerful women we are as we interface in the world. So we don't have to shut down when we get all that stuff, but we have our protection because we all recognize what it's like to leave that place that honestly feels real. Our crones are our wisest. That's what's really real. And we go out in the world and we get the opposite. It's like, that's not real, but that's what happens. So how do we do that? So yes, you're going to get all of that. And you go back into your life and all the demands on your life and all of that. And it sometimes feels like that gets so far away and I get back into it. But we come together again. And then we're, okay, there we are. And then if you keep coming back, at least I'll speak for me and those I know, you know, and because we gather three times a year, those of us who do it that often, we get it again. Okay, there it is again. I'm back to reality where we're honoring that. Okay, oh, now I'm back in this other world where I don't know how I got out here. And then back and forth. And that helps so much. It's just that, you know, exercising, right? Like over and over and reminding. And the other thing is that I flash back to, again, my ancestry, but it used to be long ago that the priestesses that lived in the temples, in the goddess temples, would once a year come together back to the temples, and they would close the temple gates to everyone else but the priestesses, and they would turn to each other to nourish and build up and strengthen and fortify, so that when the time came that they had to return out back to the community to do their work that they had been called to do by the goddess, they were strong. And I realized one time at the symposium many years ago, like, oh, that this is what we do here. For those of us that are called to this, we're out in the world doing whatever work you've been called to do. And you return, we return once a year, twice a year, three times a year, whatever you do, we close out the world and we do our ceremonies and we nourish and we enrich each other and we learn from each other and we strengthen and we rest and all of that. And then the time comes when we must open the temple gates. And now that's part of our opening circle ritual, is to open those temple gates. We put on our protection cloaks. We fortify and strengthen with all we've gained from that time together. We open the temple gates and we return to our work in the world. And that has helped me so much to go back into the, you know, craziness of this life out here in this world, but realize, okay, I'm doing the work I've been called to do, and I will continue with that. So until I'm all completely frazzled, and then I return, I'm like, oh, back to reality. Okay, for that short little time. So, well, that's how I see it anyway.
I feel very inspired by everything that you've shared. And can you let our listeners know how they can find more information about the symposium?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if you have any work trade opportunities?
Yeah. So, it comes up, the first two come up in May. We do them back to back. The weekend before Memorial Day is our first one. And that's usually our smallest one. And those are like a little more intimate, come to that one. And then Memorial Day weekend is the one. So we've always done a Memorial Day weekend, and that's our biggest one. And so those are like a little more like kind of party scene, come to that one. But that's Memorial Day weekend. And then our third one is Labor Day. And that's, we just do one in the fall. So we kind of, as spring comes in, you know, we come together in spring and then go back and we're all like, okay, see you in fall to recharge again. And then, we come back in Labor Day. So, but anyway, so there's a lot of different ways to come to it. There is those that we really love and honor, those that can pay money, because we need the money to pay the rent and buy, you know, food. So we really honor those that are able to pay the money, because that's an important contribution. There's also work trade and those that come and work in exchange for coming. And we really honor those because we need those women as well. And then we have scholarships, and those women we honor, those are usually women who can't work in some manner because of whatever. And so we have scholarships, and actually we're also seeking anybody, or if you know any businesses or whatever that would like to sponsor, because we used to be able to bring in all the scholarships that have, but now we're getting like 30 scholarship requests. And so that's a lot. So we're now out seeking, is there anybody that wants to sponsor one scholarship or two or five? But anyway, so there's that option as well. And then also we have trades for other things, like we trade for flowers and we trade for food if people are growing food or doing things that we need done or whatever. So it's a variety of ways that you can come. So, but these days things fill up really fast too. So, we've got waiting lists now, which is part of why we went from one session to two, because we end up with these long waiting lists, especially with kids, because we can only hold so many people at Black Oak. But anyway, and then we stretched into three, and I'm even thinking, I don't know if we'll do another. But anyway, this is what we're doing right now.
So register now if you're interested in coming.
Yes. So womensherbalsymposium.org. Or you can put Google Women's Herbal Symposium as well. But yeah, at Black Oak Ranch in Laytonville is where we hold it. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very powerful, really, for real. If it's your cup of tea. I mean, it's not everyone's like cup of tea, right? It's not everyone's thing, but for those of us it's our thing, it's really our thing. It really keeps us. I mean, it's made us who we are. And I could not even begin to speak my gratitude of how it's helped.
But you know, last year I came with a friend of mine, and it's not her cup of tea, but she's so happy that she did it once. Just to open her minds, to know her mind, to know that it exists, to know that it is the cup of tea of so many women, and that so many women need that to feel free, to express themselves. So even if most probably she's never going to come again, but she's so happy she did it once.
But yeah. And it's just not everyone's style. I mean, it is very earthy, you know, and we're, you know, we're camping, we're all outside, and, you know, it's camp. But I mean, it's pretty cushy camp. We call it goddess camping. but it's not everybody's thing. And, you know, we're talking all about plants. Every class is pretty much on plants, and it's very earth focused. And yeah, we recognize it's not everyone's thing, but for those of us, it's our thing. It's super our thing. Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Terry, for coming with us this morning to talk about menopause in a different aspect, in more the spiritual aspect, and talking about acceptance of menopause and age. And that's beautiful to see it this way.
Really helped demystify some stuff for me and make me not so afraid. And I love the bells for the crones and just making it loud and proud and visible. I think that just, it gives me chills just saying it. And when you were talking about it, I was just feeling it all throughout my body. And just to have this positive light and perspective about these changes, I think is really important. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You know, one other quick thing I want to say too, is that the crones, which I'm so grateful to, we're talking a lot about, you know, the lines on our faces and the silver gray hair, which, you know, we're taught those are bad. Those are proof that you're aging and that's bad. It's like, it's actually the opposite. It's the proof of all I've been through in life. And so I know a lot because I've had a lot of experiences. It's all over me. You can see it all over my face. You can see it in my hair. You can see it in my old looking hands. Right. And I gained so much from that too. Like, just get rid of all that BS that you're not supposed to look that way. You're supposed to look like you are when you're 30, when you're 70. It's like, it's so, anyway, so I celebrate when I see women with lines on their face. I'm like, oh, right on. Yay. Beautiful. You're so beautiful. You know, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, I'm so beautiful. Almost 70 soon, you know, I love it. So, yeah.
You know, I just jump in here, Florina. Thanks, Terry, for just bringing this celebration, right? Let's celebrate ourselves. Like, it's not all doom and gloom. Yes, there might be hardships. And as you said, right, it's creating who we're going to be and who we are actually going through these hardships. And there's, you know, again, like embracing that. And I liked when you said, it's like now it's all my blood, right? I think a big part also of going through menopause and shifting into this next phase is becoming a little more selfish. I think this is, and this is for a lot of us women, not easy to do, right?
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage that as a not necessarily horrible thing. Like, it is time to take, there is less energy because the body's like, okay, I don't have a whole bunch of blood here to spare every month and try to create a new, you know, a new human here. So it's time to preserve. It's time to go in. It's time to, like, I don't have to give it all to my family or to who knows what. It's time to slow down. And embracing that, celebrating that, and finding what is it that nurtures you, right? Is it gardening? Is it whatever, crafting? Is it something that might have looked really a selfish act when you did it, like when your kids were little or your business was just starting to grow or whatever? It's like, it's okay. And for me, again, when it comes to like these symptoms that we have, the more I can realign myself with the natural rhythm, the less there are going to be these terrible, like, take me down symptoms. Because again, I feel like my body and its needs is met. So it doesn't need to be that loud anymore. So thank you, Tara, for that. Yeah, a little bit more selfish, I think, is where it's going to be. For me, at least, going slowly into that phase. Not there yet. But, I'm gonna actually look forward to that a little bit. And I don't feel ashamed at all.
And it is the time for that, you know? And those that have had kids are usually there. The kids have moved on to whatever their lives are, or if you've been working around a business all your life and whatever, you're moved on, usually at least the main flux of that. And it's the time when you get to turn in. Now, who am I? So I appreciate you saying that.
One positive thing I read about menopause, too, is that it is the freedom from social expectations.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. That is what. So we learned the first time we did the Crohn's ceremony, and the Crohn's are just like everywhere. And we're just like, oh, right. Of course. And it kind of became this thing of like, you know, nobody gets to control the Crohn's. And so it's so fun. Until then, all of a sudden, sometimes a Crohn will just like cackle. And then others is like all this cackling, like, yeah. And I thought, oh, the freedom of that, you know, you just get to be who you are now.
Yeah.
And also
that wisdom, right? That helps us to be more exactly. who we are, because we don't care anymore.
We don't care anymore. It doesn't matter. Whatever you think is irrelevant to me. I've got what I've got. Yeah.
I also learned menopause is that not a lot of animals actually go through menopause. It's kind of a little more rare. Some whales go through it, chimpanzees, humans. But there's a lot of debate about, you know, why menopause happens. Maybe we'll talk about it. But I see we do have a caller on the line. So let's see what our audience has to say.
Caller, you on?
Hello?
Hello. Hi, thank you for calling.
I was just have this idea that maybe instead of calling yourself selfish, maybe you could just call it focused, you know, honed in. You know, it has a sweeter vibe and it's more like, I don't know, functional and less incriminating.
Yeah, I agree,
but I love
what
you're doing. It's so beautiful and like, wow. Thank you for your work. Love you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. Really appreciate your call.
You know, I think it's interesting because I'm so glad that we have a male caller, because this is not just for women here. This talk is not just for women. I really want to encourage, I hope not a whole bunch of guys out there turn the radio off, because it's important. You have women. Everybody has women in their life, right? It's like, you need to know what we're going through. Like, and if you're a woman, educate your husbands, educate your sons. Like, this stuff is important. This is not just for us women. I really feel like, you know, this is not just woman talk here.
That's the truth.
Yeah, I was wondering. So I want to thank you all, because going through the process of organizing this show, talking with all of you and being here this morning, I already feel that it's helping me accept that it is going to happen soon. So let me remind our listeners that Kara and I are 46. So this is a big motivation of why to do the show today. That's for us to learn, really. And that's working. I feel that the more we talk about it, the more we get ready. And I was already feeling when, Tara, you were saying at one point, I'll have to say I am a crone and I'll feel I'm proud of it. Okay, I feel it way more after this show already than I was feeling 3 days ago before starting to prepare. Yeah, it's going to be beautiful. We know that some men disconnected because of this show this morning. One of them called me. Fine. But I was wondering also, because I have a lot of friends, girlfriends about my age who are divorcing, separating in that moment of their lives. And I think it has to do with, okay, one thing we have to say it, the vaginal dryness is a real thing, and that would create some divorces for sure. And then obviously maybe women are more cranky, men are not prepared to accompany them through this. I don't know. What do you guys have to say about this?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think part of it is also perhaps not being so willing just to give and put ourselves on the back burner anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that could be a problem for some partners. What do you mean? Like, you've always been there doing everything. And suddenly you're like, nuh-uh, you know, this is a shared thing here. So I don't know. Perhaps that could be part of it. I don't know. I feel like, you know, the more we go through these phases, the stronger we become. And not everybody likes strong women. So I'm not sure. I'm just throwing out there what comes to mind.
Yeah, I'll also just add to that, too, in that I appreciate what you're saying. You know, I've been giving all these years that I've been bleeding because I'm giving out blood and all that. And now I'm pulling back and I'm not doing that anymore. I don't have that. My life is different. The other thing I want to say that I've learned is that, just like the whole thing of being old now. And so you're not as useful anymore. And if you don't have any deeper skills in how to navigate that's actually not true. That can also throw it off and throws women into, you know, that depression or that, like, I got to try to be youthful or whatever. And that can cause friction too, because now you're suddenly dealing with this thing that we think is real, that we're not worth anything now that we're old, but, you know, it's the opposite. So that could also be difficult. And I also just want to say around bleeding, like during our bleed time, when we're actually bleeding, we're very open energetically. Our bodies are obviously very open to let the blood out, and that makes our, you know, open. So, and all those energies can come right in. And then when we go into menopause, we're open in a whole other way, and energies can come in. And that makes us kind of like have to put up a protection if we don't feel that support and understanding and see us as to who we really are. So I think that's also could be a piece, or is a piece.
Looks like we have a couple callers. Yes. Let's get them on air here.
Nicole, are you on the app?
Hello, I'm on.
Yes.
Well, I just wanted to say, based on what you were saying and the previous caller's comment on the word selfishness, something that I had read about hormone levels is, like, as a woman, are you hearing me? I don't know if you guys are hearing me.
Yes, we hear you.
Okay, all right. You get this constant surge of estrogen every month, and that's kind of like this caring hormone, and we put ourselves out as women to care for children, to care for the people around us, to do this and that and take on so many things. And then once you go through menopause, it levels out. And in that way, I just to like agree with what you guys are saying, or what you women are saying, is that all of a sudden you don't get that constant surge. And without that surge, it's like hard to do your husband's laundry or do the dishes all the time. Or you're at this point in your life where you still have several decades to live, and it's like, okay, yeah, turning it on you, and like all of a sudden you get to be your focus. But seeing that not so much as like, oh, my husband's mad at me for being grumpy because I'm going through menopause, it's kind of, I've heard it as the opposite of like, I can't take care of you anymore, and if you're not willing to step up, I have to focus on myself now.
Makes a lot of sense.
So anyway, that's all I had to, that was my little thing that was like, it's what you're saying too, but kind of focuses you as the, like, I don't have that hormone anymore that's making me take care of you. You're going to have to like help take care of yourself and meet me at this place that I'm at.
Yeah, what I'm hearing a lot from some friends is that having that partner during the mother part of life was fitting, perfect, nice. But then when they go through the phase, through menopause, and are changing and maybe don't need to be that productive, okay, is that guy still the person who I want to be with in the next phase for the next 20 years or something? No, actually not. He was great for the phase before, but not for this one. I hear that a lot.
A lot of women take up new hobbies at that time. And it's like this, it's this new period of life where you get to explore. It's like, okay, I've gone through so much. I still have so much time. And yeah, it's just focusing on self. And now you get to do whatever you want. Like, it's like you reach this point in life. It's like, okay, this is the time to do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'd love to go to Herbal Symposium. I've never been. This has been really fun to listen to. I'll let you go.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, and we have another caller.
Can I just add one quick thing that I really appreciate what she was saying? How during the bleeding phase, we get those surge of estrogen every month. And then when menopause comes, it stops. You know, it takes a little bit sometimes, but it stops. And that can really affect women because we're used to that for 30, 40 years of that. And all of a sudden, we don't have that surge that gives us all that energy. And I really appreciated what she was saying, that like what I did for you for all those years, I don't have the energy or the juice for that anymore because I don't have estrogen anymore. I'm turning in a very different way now. So I just wanted to say how much I appreciated her, what she said.
Second caller, you're on.
Good morning, girls. This is Anna Banana. How you doing?
Oh,
hey,
Anna
Banana.
Thanks for calling.
I have a three-phase comment. The first one is about PMS. And when a liver is stressed, the liver puts in estrogen and takes it out and puts progesterone into your bloodstream and, you know, cycles it in and out and balances it. But if the liver is stressed with sugar, fats, emotional stress, like growing weed and getting camped on and drinking or drugs, the liver doesn't have time to deal with the hormones, so it just throws it all into your bloodstream and leaves it in there, and that causes wild anxiety, rage. I feel sorry for men that have to live with women with PMS because it's really literally a disease, and it can be controlled by, you know, not drinking and doing drugs and watching what you eat before you have your period. So I had PMS really, really bad and just raged through my life till I was about 45. And so when I went into menopause, I had extensive Faye Lawrence gave me extensive acupuncture and to help me with PMS, and it also helped me go right into menopause. And I don't know how any woman can live with anybody in their bed going through menopause. It's extremely uncomfortable. It's extremely physical. You're sweating. It's just a very physical experience. And so that's one problem with relationships, and probably starts the two bed syndrome, you know. Honey, sleep on the couch or build another room. And after it's over, though, the hormones taper way off. And for me, it was thank God, because I was extremely oversexed, and the world just was like, can I have sex with you? Are you going to have sex with me? Do I want to have sex with you? Oh, you do you, don't you? Blah, blah, blah. And the tail is wagging the dog all the time. And when the hormones went away, I could look at life and I could see people for the love and the beauty. And it's just such a bigger world without the sex hormone. And I, you know, driving everything. And I just, you know, I keep saying to kids, you know, like, you can't believe how beautiful it is when the world opens up and it isn't seen through this lens. And you're not bleeding. You just become a whole person, and then you enjoy the equality that men have, where you're not dragged around by the physical limitations of your body, and then you experience your autonomy. Mm. So those are my comments.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. I appreciate what you're saying.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Acupuncture really helped.
I agree. I really found acupuncture to be life-changing. I haven't done it for menopause, but I have horrible menstrual pain and other chronic pains, and it has really changed my life. One thing I just want to mention, because we're getting close to the end of the show, and we've really focused on, you know, the majority of people who experience menopause are older women, but there's also trans men and non-binary folks that also go through menopause, as well as medicated-induced menopause, which I personally experienced because I have endometriosis and had to start taking medication, anti-hormone medication, which totally stopped the production of my estrogen and put me into a state of menopause for a while, and the hot flashes were unbearable. And also at the same time, my wife is also going through hot flashes. And so try have two women going through menopause sharing a bed is pretty uncomfortable. And the hot flashes were so bad for me, I actually stopped taking the medication. And I don't know if that was the best move for me, but I just want to acknowledge all of the other folks that also go through menopause besides us aging women. And when we do this show again, I'm sure we will talk about this again more. I would love to get some more of those voices on here too.
Thanks for bringing that up, Kara. I think that's really important. We have so many different ways of going through life. And you know, going back to acupuncture, again, it just helps you to help the body go back into these cycles that are connecting with nature, right? With our energy flow, and open that up. And absolutely, just like Anna said, with the liver, right? Healthy life choices are just kind of a must when we have all these things of like really checking out what is actually inducing my hot flash. Mm-hmm. I started to realize that caffeine for me, like depending on the time of the day, I started to like an hour after have a hot flash. I'm like, oh, okay. So now I can like make that choice. Am I going to have a cup of coffee or not? Like that kind of stuff. Again, like looking inside, what is triggering what, and learning how to live with it and change some habits we have to create better habits. I mean, like one of the things we haven't even touched on is insomnia, right? Mm-hmm. Sleep problems. It can be a huge problem. And so finding that bed routine and these things that are helping. Okay, I think we have a caller.
Yeah, I just want to say that lady that just called and talked about how she didn't like sex anymore and, you know, acted as if everybody's experience with that is the same, and it isn't. When I was approaching menopause, but it wasn't happening quite yet, I was actually in a play where one of the sections was about menopause. So I was asking some of the ladies that I was in the theater group with, because a lot of them were at that stage where they were going into it, and I wanted to know how they felt and what happened. And I would say about half of them would say, when I'd ask them about the sex thing, they'd say, oh, I've been through menopause now. I don't care about sex anymore. And then the other half would say, oh, wow, it's great. You don't have to worry about birth control. And, you know, my experience was more like that. I really enjoyed sex because I wasn't going to get pregnant with a baby that I didn't want to raise. And I felt more freedom, and I felt more maturity and more understanding of what all of those male-female relationships are about. So it was a good time for me. I did sleep. I didn't have the insomnia, but I sure had a heck of a lot of hot flashes. But I couldn't do anything about it. So it was like, well, I'd rather be hot than cold. And, you know, that was it. If I sweated, I sweated. You know, I didn't care about that. And I have to say that, you know, the sex was even better Okay, thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I've heard both extremes that people experience, which I think really makes sense. You know, our hormones affect us all really differently.
Well, and apparently during the perimenopause, so all that phase, that's when the estrogen is down and the dryness is there and the sex drive is gone. But after, once we are menopaused, apparently it's coming back in a very different way, but it's coming back. And we have one more minute. Oh, my God, we have to do a show again to talk about sex drive in menopause.
This has been a K-Mud podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.